going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back into our day three of draft coverage. TrainSouth.com, WWL Draft Fest continuing here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard in Metairie. Two picks so far for the Saints today, both in round four. Oklahoma linebacker Danny Stutzman with the 112th overall pick, and then it was Louisville corner Quincy Riley with the 131st overall selection, both in round four. We still have a sixth round selection on the board for the black and gold, along with two in the seventh. Looking at some of the positions still of need that feel like for the Saints.
Look what your Eagles did. You saw what they pick another Georgia player.
It's a whole fraternity.
And Sale Martin Jr., the linebacker. Man, they got a Georgia reunion. They can have it in Philly. They got so many guys from University of Georgia.
Georgia Northeast.
But, you know, they do spend a lot of time in the Southeast Conference, you could tell. Every year, you just look at who they select. And, man, he can run. I mean, he is a very active football player. And, when you picked on defense at linebacker, you got the approval of one dude. Okay, Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
That's who Vic wanted. And they have two more selections in round five, right?
Yeah.
Good gracious,
so
Steve.
It looks like.
And you complaining about Jefferson and the mist on that? And look everything that Roseman's done across the board. And I get it. Because of, you know, what Justin has done in the NFL has been unbelievable.
Arguably the best wide receiver in the league right now.
But. You know, listen, like I say, everybody makes a miss, and misses, plural, but the Eagles, that list of misses is mighty short.
I think that one hurt even more for me, Mike, just seeing what Jefferson was able to do here at LSU, the constant coverage we had out of him, and then that final season, that magical ride with the national championship.
He actually, because I talked to him about this, he actually thought he was going to Philly. I don't know who there told him that's where he would end up, but this was after everything was over with. He told me, there's no question, the team that showed me the most interest was the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I don't get it.
And they didn't pick him.
Yeah.
You know, they went with Rager instead.
And it would be different at least if they went with a different position at that spot, but they didn't. Head scratcher.
Yeah, again.
And then seeing the Vikings war room, that video of them celebrating when Rieger got picked.
So the good Lord wanted him in Minnesota.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it all the time.
So, yeah, the last couple of picks, Marquez Sigel, the safety from Kansas State, going to the San Francisco 49ers. Georgia linebacker, Small Mondin, going to the Eagles. We got Francisco Mauga, linebacker out of Miami, going to the Jets. And it looks like the Carolina Panthers have made a move and now have pick 163. We're waiting to see what they end up selecting.
Nick, Panthers, too, man. They all over the board are moving those checker pieces to get certain players here and there. And again, Bob and I and Deuce and I have talked about it, too, all the problems they've had on defense. Dan Morgan, a former, you know, really good football player at the NFL level who played linebacker, he understands you got to be able to stop the run. You can talk about all this pressure stuff all over the board, But you got to stop the run first and foremost, and that is something the Panthers have struggled doing, the Falcons have struggled doing, the Saints have struggled doing.
Looking at things, much of the talk has been about the Cleveland Browns, who did finally take Shedeur Sanders off the board. So he has a home now. But they also, in one of the earlier rounds, took another rookie quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. So it's going to be an interesting QB situation out with the Cleveland Browns, along with old man Joe Flacco still in the mix.
Well, the good thing is Joe can sort of be mentor to both of them.
Right.
In that spot. I'm like Deuce. Deshaun Watson, he ain't never going to play again for the Browns. That's not happening.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I think that they don't want that hung on them anymore. And I think now they've gotten the owner to say, okay, guys, I made the mistake. It's only one of you know, because one thing with Jimmy Haslam, he don't admit, Haslam don't admit to a lot of mistakes in this world. And he's made a ton of money, put it to you that way. That's why he's a multi-billionaire. But
he spent a ton of that money, too.
And, he broke new ground on that guaranteed contract. Boy, did he get under the skin of the other 31 owners when he did that with Deshaun. I think they're ready to move on from Deshaun. And so to bring in two young quarterbacks shouldn't be a real shock there. And both guys, I think about the ride that Dylan Gabriel made in this college football world. Man, he was all over. And it was just a great fit for him at Oregon. Just a super fit. And everything worked for him there. But, for Shedeur, it gives him an opportunity. And if you were to look at a team, top three to say for sure that I have a chance to play.
It was Cleveland.
As a rookie. Cleveland's one of them. Definitely one of them.
For sure, the pick is in for the Carolina Panthers at number 163. We'll see where the NFC South rival ends up going here. You mentioned they've been very active all over the draft board currently. Curious to see. Right now they're having the best fit here on CBSSports.com. As Belial Cohn, still that cornerback, still out there from Western Michigan.
To the tight end.
They picked the
okay, here
yeah,
we go.
You can scratch that out. It's Mitchell Evans, the tight end from Notre Dame. One of the best blocking tight ends in this draft class. Man, Mitchell can block. Now, they didn't use him a ton as a receiver, but he can catch the football pretty well. And, over his three-year career, almost 80, I think it was 77, I'm seeing it now, 77 catches. But he's a good athlete, but a really good inline blocker for him. And, one thing for sure, we talk about his run blocking skills, but you got to be able to protect. And Bryce Young, ain't the biggest cat in the world. But, man, down the stretch, Bryce Young played pretty well for the Panthers.
Like the number one pick.
Man, he played like the guy.
He got some confidence back, and, he and the head coaches started trusting each other. And the question still becomes, from a receiver standpoint, you were able to go get him a guy last year, but can you continue to get him some weapons on the outside? And obviously, to be able to protect him, his offensive line played better. Probably still hadn't played up to potential with as many high picks as they have and as much money as they spent.
They need to get him a running game.
Well, they tried with a couple times with a couple guys, free agent and via draft, but it's nothing consistent.
Yeah.
Heading out for our news break here on WWL. Stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage at Rouse's Market in Metairie on Power Boulevard. When we return, the Cajun Cannon joins the mix. We'll get his thoughts on the Saints' two picks today. So stay tuned after the top of the hour news right after this on WWL. Welcome back in. Steve Geller here with Saints legends Deuce McAllister and Bobby Hebert joining us here. Now we hit the 2 o'clock hour. Also, draft analyst Mike Dettillier and the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes. We're bringing you all the live action of the draft and all pro analysis. Come join us here in Metairie at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. It's the official supermarket of the Saints. For everybody out there, that's 3711 Power Boulevard. If you don't know, love to meet you out here. And Cajun Cannon, the Saints busy today, getting two picks in the fourth round. I want to get your first thoughts on the Oklahoma linebacker Danny Stutzman, now a member of the Black and Gold.
Well, I'm just as excited today as I was yesterday. The players we've taken so far are going to have a big impact on the Saints for years to come. Even more what we've done, we're excited about the quarterback. But look at the quarterback we took. Okay. The quarterbacks on our roster right now, we don't still know about Derek Carr. How many games have they won in the NFL?
That's a big zero.
Okay, so, well, you know, when Jeff was talking, and I'm going to talk more than Deuce didn't want to talk about it, but if you compare in the Saints to the Cleveland Browns, man, they got freaking Joe Flacco. Oh, Bob, wait a minute, the old man. All I know is the last time Cleveland went to the playoffs, it was a couple of years ago, Joe Flacco was the quarterback, a Super Bowl winner. The Saints don't have that kind of stability. So I don't know, we might be picking a damn quarterback again next year. Until proven differently, I think it's going to be the same song and dance. We might end up, I think we'll be picking in the top 10 next year. But there's nothing wrong with that. You got to have patience. You got to look forward to the future. And then it might take, they might work out, it might not. But you can't give up. And then we might have to pick a quarterback next year. You never know. But I'm telling you, when I look at Danny Stutzman and I look at Quincy Riley, I think that's two players.
Bobby, can I stop you right quick?
Yeah, you can go ahead, because I can talk a lot after.
No, I'm going to let you talk, because I'm going to go over here and cut the video right quick.
Okay.
But I want to know where Bobby Hebert is, because if Bobby Hebert liked yesterday picks.
I like a lot better today.
And he likes today's picks.
Better.
Somebody is wrong. Something is going wrong. I want to know where Bobby Hebert, because Bobby doesn't like.
No, I didn't say I didn't like it. It's like different variations. I think if I can look at my crystal ball, how are they going to contribute?
Deuce, you have to kick the amp.
No, I'm just telling you, how are they going to contribute? I think Danny Stutzman is going to contribute on the level like Jack Campbell is going to have opportunity like he contributed with the Lions coming out of Iowa. If you look at Danny Stutzman, look at this. He ain't no little cat. He's going to knock a snot bubble. I can tell you that right now. 6'4", 242, he's coming downhill. I like his size and strength. Going to translate to immediately to the next level. He will need seasoning to develop. Now, he's not perfect. He's a capable coverage defender. But he should be able to start early in his career. I truly believe this. I was reading where a run defense. Aggressive movement downhill to take on blocks. One of the few in this class who can constantly disengage and clog the hole close to the point of attack. So we're not giving up 5 yards a run, and we're giving up 3.8. I kind of like that. Isn't Demario Davis older? Yeah. Pete Warner and all that? So I think this is a no. It's a win-win situation. I don't know how he could not succeed. Now, and he has a chip on his shoulder. I didn't know this. I thought he's probably Oklahoma country boy. Mm-hmm. Mike telling me he's from Florida. And he's all ticked off. The Florida schools overlooked him, whether COVID was involved and all that. But all I know is that means he has a chip on his shoulder, and it's a real chip. So he's going to want to prove teams differently. Now, like I talked about his size. He has the NFL-ready frame and kind of intensity and nonstop motor. Who doesn't like a nonstop motor? Every team wants to have at the heart of its defense. He's a sideline-to-sideline defender on every down. He's a vocal leader who can rally his teammates. I don't know. He just sounds like a football player. Now this can work against him at times in terms of keeping constantly low pad level. He's 6'4", 242. That's a big guy. Von Johnson, even. I remember the Dome Patrol with Sam Mills. That was a big son of a gun. You know, a low man wins. And that pad level. So looking at that, I think, can he be a three-down guy? I don't know. I think he has an opportunity to be a three-down linebacker, but I know he's definitely there on first and 10, and they're trying to run at you to put him in that regard. Now, he needs to refine some time his tackling approach. And you know what he gets? I don't want him in the game if we play in man coverage and pass coverage. Because I told Mike this story. Very similar. Don't you? What was it? You know, God rest his soul, Junior Seau. Remember Junior Seau with the Chargers? He was a son of a gun, like unbelievable. Knocked the crap out of you. I burned his behind in pass coverage. He'd be so overly aggressive in pass coverage, and then you could exploit that. So I don't know if I want him in man-to-man coverage, because as a quarterback, it's a chess match. I would try and attack him with his man coverage skills. Now, you can work on that to get better.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face.
That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
But all the mental and physical tools are there. To me, he could become a quality starter in the middle of any NFL defense. I think we got a steal where we got him. I just think he's going to work out. You know, they don't nominate you for Lombardi Award finalist for nothing. To me, a three-year starter, Mike, he started 49 games for the Sooners. He's a throwback. Maybe I just like the throwback linebacker who makes his money in the run game. And all I know is we got to stop the run. Now, he posted triple-digit tackles in 3 years as a starter. Now, again, like I said, his passing game, the limitations there. But the team's going to value him because his run-stopping ability. And it's good, though. He does all right in zone coverage in the pass. Remember how Zach Bond sometimes wasn't so good in pass coverage? I think he kind of worked out with the Eagles, so he still can develop. But he's agile and rangy enough to drop into coverage. But more the zone concept than man, and he knows how to make receivers uncomfortable zone. Now, he might end up getting, he hit him in the head, came across the middle. You know, Mike, you can't hit nobody and drill him. Well, he might be one because he's going to be aggressive. And it's like, I don't know. That looked like a good hit to me. But this day and age in football, you can't hit him like that. So he can knock a snipe bubble, like I said, making receivers uncomfortable in a zone coming across the middle. But when he's at his best, he's near the line of scrimmage. And, you might say he's a two-down linebacker. I don't know if it's first and 10 you have in there. Then if it's second and 9, I still have him in there. If it's third and 8 or 7, take him out. And then you put him back on. Like, Mike, look, one of the greatest linebackers in NFL history. Now, this is really old school, Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus, I mean, you talk about the run support, he was unbelievable. But talk about get burned in the passing game, like, I don't know, he could play today. They'd play him on first down, and they take him out of the game, right? I mean, so when you look at, so there's all different aspects in the chess match when you look at, you know, who you plugging and playing and when you give him an opportunity. He's a football player. I'm excited about Danny Stutzman. He has the measurables. The football's a priority. And, Mike, you have a different comparison here, but I read this pro camp, comp. If he can be a poor man, Jack Campbell came out of Iowa. The Detroit Lions had 130 tackles. And I was reading this. Now, this is interesting. Not quite as mentally savvy as Campbell. You know, like, I guess he must be real cerebral. Campbell out of Iowa going with the Lions. I mean, he might not be on that level, but he said, I was reading this about him, but the size and his strength is going to translate immediately to the next level. He will need seasoning to develop and capable to develop the capable coverage defender, but he should be able to start early in his career. So I think that cat's not just playing special teams. He's helping us from the get-go with DeMario Davis and Pete Werner. Now, are we doing a 3-4? Don't you look at Pete Werner and DeMario Davis as inside guys? We're outside. Say, well, we need more outside linebackers. All I know is it's going to be hard to keep Danny Stutzman off the field.
You know who he reminds me of, and he plays for the Falcons today, Troy Anderson. Troy was a guy who played all over the board at Montana State.
Yeah.
They picked him in round two, late in round two.
Overachieving white boy, tackling machine.
But he reminds me there's some physical characteristics because Troy is 6'3.5", 242 pounds. And look at
they look like a linebacker.
They look like the linebacker. So that's, if you would say compare, because I think Campbell's game's a little bit differently. But Troy Anderson, who's with Atlanta today, reminds me a lot of Stutzman.
But put it this way. If he's playing every game, he'll have over 100 tackles. I mean, he's that kind of guy. You know, DeMario Davis, doesn't he always have over 100 tackles? So, I mean, you want that. He's a tackling machine. He answers the bell. This is hurting me. I can't play. Am I available or am I not available? I think that guy wants to be available. Look, he's at 125. The last three seasons, he's had over 100 tackles. The most he's had, like, 125. So I'm excited about him. I think, you know, how we've not been able to stop the run. Now, you got to have the D tackles occupying blockers. Just occupy the blockers. I'll make the tackle. I'll fill the holes. You don't have to worry about that. No, I'm excited because you got to pass the torch sometime with DeMario Davis, and I think Danny Stutzman will be that linebacker for the Saints to years to come. I'm not putting him in the dome patrol yet, but I think he has that kind of ability. He's a football player, and the Saints got a good one, I think, in this one. Well, when we come back in the break, I'm going to talk about the cornerback. I didn't even talk about Quincy Riley yet.
No,
I like
down,
him, too.
You broke down Danny Stutzman. We're going to take a break. When you turn, hear the Cajun Cannon's thoughts on the other fourth-round pick, corner Quincy Riley out of Louisville. Stick around for the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Rebound or more right here on WWL. Welcome back into our Rouse's Market Draft Fest coverage, the official supermarket of the Saints, brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Hanging out here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, and our analyst, Mike Dettillier. I'm Steve Geller. We're bringing you all the picks and breaking them down. The Chicago Bears took cornerback Zach Frazier with the 169th selection. Then it was Jordan Hancock, a corner, going to the Buffalo Bills. Miles Frazier's LSU offensive lineman going to the Detroit Lions just now in the L.A. Rams.
Well, that's a great team for him.
Clock.
Oh,
what?
For him?
Because you know what Miles can do? Man, he can run block.
Oh, and you know their coach. You better be able to pack a lunch against the Lions because they're not changing, Mike, what they want to do.
No, they and
even though they have Jared Goff, they got their receivers and all that. The first things first, they go, well, if we can run, we get a pass even better.
Great 1-2 punch, obviously.
Yeah, the other thing, too, with them is that they're getting a little bit of age in the interior part of their offensive line. You can see they're trying to address that with a guy like Miles.
Yeah, that makes totally sense.
Because he actually came into LSU. He was a tackle and then they kicked him inside to guard. So this makes the third offensive lineman from LSU selected in this draft. Will Campbell, Emory Jones, and now Miles Frazer goes to Detroit.
Yeah, now we've had a number of LSU players get drafted. How the hell did they win the top 12 in the postseason? Come on, Coach Kelly.
Next time we have Coach Kelly on,
I would bring it up. I'd be scared to bring that up. Because this year it has to be like playoffs or bust. And I didn't make the Final Four. Come on, we can't be in the Final 12. Then, what can happen in the postseason? It's one game at a time.
I was telling Deuce, how did South Carolina not make it? Look at all the cats that got picked off that team.
And they had a chance at the end of the season maybe to go in the back end.
Would cost them.
Was it that Clemson game? Or
LSU.
Oh, yeah, when the LSU game, they had that pick six, and then they knock out the Smile. What are you doing? Don't go hit the quarterback. You could hit him later in the game. But don't hit him on that play. That's when you got to mentally be smart and tough, and, you have to know the circumstance. You might want to, man, I'm going to let the quarterback know I'm there. Not on that play. Come on, they're always trying to protect the quarterback anyway. But don't try and kill the quarterback. Those days are over. You can't do that no more.
We got five more picks left in round five before we finally get into the sixth. Cajun Cannon.
To us about Quincy.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked a little about Danny Stutzman in the last segment, the first fourth-round pick of the black and gold. But at pick number 131, Louisville corner Quincy Riley lands in New Orleans.
Quincy Riley, I like him a lot. Now, it'd sound better if he was 6'1 or 6'2, but 6 foot, 195. That's still a good size. Now, 6 foot with his cleats on, I don't know.
It's with cleats.
So when you look at it, I still agree with Deuce, though. I still think we need a veteran presence at cornerback, because considering losing Lattimore and Paulson Adebo. I think they high on Isaac Yadam. Because when he played with the Saints and went to the 49ers, and Coach Taylor was at the 49ers, he said, no, I like him. Bring him back to the Saints. So I guess you'd have to consider him a veteran. Now, I don't know what quality, but I like Quincy Riley. If you look at him, he's the measurables has been, depending who's measuring him, 5'10 to 6 foot. So I'm going to give him 5'11. And then, the weight's about 195. That's right. But look at, the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. Coming out of high school, he was a three-star recruit. He went to Middle Tennessee, became a starting quarterback in 2021 for the Blue Raiders. Now, Middle Tennessee, but he parlayed that. And you know why? After his first season starting, when he was playing with Middle Tennessee State, he had five interceptions, and he transferred to Louisville. When you do the transfer portal, who could play? I don't know. This guy's at Middle Tennessee State. Let's bring him to Louisville. He had five interceptions, very productive. Then he transferred there. This year he was second team All ACC. For the Louisville Cardinals. Looking at one of his strengths, great ball tracking ability, turns quickly to make plays on the ball. How many times you're a defensive back, and you're right there, make a play on the ball. You see great coverage, then can you locate the ball? So I like that. Great ball tracking ability, turns quickly to make plays on the ball. Explosive back pedal down the field is exactly what you look for in a bump and run cornerback. I like that. The technique, whether you're playing zone or man, but bump and run style cornerback. Now, this is interesting because you look at weaknesses and all that. Because I think Alante Taylor wants to play on the outside. He's played on the inside or not. Now, but I read, according to this report, probably at the NFL level, a slot exclusive guy. So if he could be in a slot, that answers a lot of questions for the Saints. If all of a sudden, if Quincy Riley could just be a slot corner, and then you have Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid on the outside, and that's a win-win. Now, you got to stay healthy. But I thought that was interesting looking at probably a slot exclusive guy at the NFL level. Sometimes, though, when you look at Coach Staley, it's not necessarily, Dennis Allen, man-to-man, bump and run and all that. I don't care about no damn zone. No, you got to mix it up. Coach Staley likes a little more zone, obviously, than Coach Allen. Now, his instincts, to me, that's eyes. His instincts sometimes in zone coverage are messy. That means, you know, you can freelance if you make a play, but if you freelance and you get burnt, what's your assignment in this damn zone coverage? So that's why I said it could be a little messy. And also, when I read that,
and Bobby's dead.
Well, yeah. And then looking at, Mike, I don't know, like, this comparison. I was looking at a pro comp. Ronald Darby, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You probably know more about Darby. Darby and
Florida State guy.
Yeah, Darby and Riley are both slot-exclusive players. So they said that if he can be like Darby, and Darby's done well for himself in the league, that could be a blueprint for Quincy Riley.
Well, and Bobby, what I was going to tell you was he's a track guy.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He told us, you know, and he 100 and the 200. So he's got long speed, but also he's got good quickness.
Okay.
And so when we talk about, you know, being able to be a returner possibly for you, and then, you know, with the new kickoff rules, he's just another guy there. But, you know, to be able to cover it as a gunner.
Because we don't always want Rasheed Shaheed back there. No, he might be able to spell him.
I don't want Rasheed back there at all.
Yeah, okay.
I need him at receiver. I need him available. I love Rasheed as a returner, but, you know, I don't want him back there at all. Here's the other part of it that just giving a little bit more slot, but starting off maybe in, I don't know about true nickel, but maybe off in dime package.
Right.
Where I can get his feet wet a little bit.
Yeah, you know, to throw him to the fire right from the get-go.
Correct. But, I mean, his ability to be able to turn and run, I think, will help him be able to say, hey, you can't keep me off the field. You're going to have to play me in some way.
Well, and dudes, like you're saying, you know, I was reading this also about him. Well-rounded prospect with a healthy measure of both athleticism and toughness. Not all cornerbacks are tough. And then it might be little, but a dude, he still want to tackle.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Does he want to hit?
Yeah.
Does he want to come up and hit? That's what I want to know.
And they said Raleigh has the ball skills and playmaking instincts every NFL team wants in his cornerback. I like that a lot. He's also a willing tackler. You got to be one to tackle. He's a willing tackler who isn't afraid to fly downhill and help out in the run game. We haven't stopped the freaking run. So are you run support? You know, that's one thing I liked about Lattimore. Lattimore can run support.
He would come up
here. Lattimore can run support. So I like that. He'll help out in the run game or bring down receivers to limit yards after the catch. You know, I'm not like whiffing on damn receiver. He caught the ball, but I'm bringing him down. Now, he's not the fastest corner in the class when you look at that. But how about this? Always running at 100%, even if the ball doesn't come his way. That means he ain't loafing. Oh, the ball's way over there. I ain't no prima donna. No, I'm 100% even though the ball's not coming my way.
Bob, on that, whoever wrote that doesn't know anything about his background. He's a track sprinter.
Track guy.
He's a 200-meter track. He didn't run a great time at the combine. In his standards, he ran 4.48, but he was a track sprinter in high school.
Now, this is coming from Athlon. So, I don't know. Athlon's a national service. So, whether you're not – all I'm going by, Athlon, I think they made a few dollars. So, they might know a little bit what they're talking about.
Well, that one they don't.
Okay, yeah, they're not 100%. The same thing with Shador Sanders, Mel Kiper, he ain't 100%. Now, the overall awareness of zone coverage can be inconsistent at times. We talked about that. Overall skill set and combination of toughness, smarts, and effort will make him a valuable addition to any NFL secondary. His mental and physical tools are there for him to quickly develop into a quality starter. And to me, a quality starter is not just on the outside if you're in the slot. A quality starter is not two corners anymore, it's three. And so if he could just be that, I like it a lot. All I know is I'm excited about the guys we picked today.
One of the things with him is his press coverage skills. He does that very well. The one thing I think he wished he could have back is that run in Indy. Because he's a lot faster than the 4.48. But listen, I've been around track sprinters. Day to day, that all sort of changes and how quickly or how fast you can run and on what surface you run.
Yeah, and then you know what? Okay, you know who's a perfect example? Look how fast Jerry Rice. It was arguably the greatest receiver in NFL history. Jerry Rice was not fast. But you look on the football field, why nobody never caught him when he catches a slant from Joe Montana? See, you know, Jerry Rice, the football speed was unbelievable. Now, I don't know, you got, are you football fast or you track fast? I mean, you know, all of a sudden you might be track fast, like Ronaldo DMI. Remember he won the Olympics and the hurdles and all that? Go across the middle, he'd be running like a 5 flat 40. He was all like a tiptoeing. Yeah, he wasn't running. So I don't know, are you football fast? That might be a good thing.
Stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage live from Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Taking a break. We'll return right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back in. Steve Geller with Saints legends Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, our draft analyst Mike Dettillier, voice of the Saints Mike Hawes, bringing you all the live action of the draft and all-pro analysis. You can join us at Metairie at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. And we are through round five. That was a slog with no Saints pick on the board, but we do have the black and gold back in action soon in this round, and we'll be counting down as they have three more selections left, and so far they've kept them.
Yeah, and Deuce, we didn't get to talk about it. Bob gave his stuff on both picks, but the Rams pick, one of your guys, Chris Paul, from Ole Miss, the linebacker, one of the Butkus Award finalists, started at Arkansas and then swung to Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is like South Carolina and LSU. You're like, man, how come we didn't make that final 12?
Same thing. And I can go and tell you why you didn't make it. Kentucky, LSU, Florida. You know, you one or two of those games you can't lose. Kentucky at home, you can't lose. You know, you can't go to LSU and let that game be close and let it get down into the fourth quarter. You knew what time it was.
Well Deuce, okay, because you could play both sides. Because you in Louisiana, you played at Ole Miss, so you know the LSU influence, you know the Ole Miss influence. To me, Ole Miss not making the expectations postseason last year, because now it's 12 teams, not the top four,
correct,
is more disappointing than even LSU. If you just look at now, LSU fans want to hear that, but I think
I know the expectation
with Coach Kiffin and stuff.
Well, no, I knew the expectation up in Oxford.
Yeah,
I mean because it was dubbed the last dance. It was dubbed the last ride. I mean, and just like what Michael Jordan and the Bulls, that's what it was dubbed at in Oxford. And so you up the ante, you got the quarterback to come back, you were able to recruit
right.
Some of the top.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Defensive lineman in the country, you were able to get some receivers, and you didn't cash in.
Right.
You didn't cash in, and so the expectation was for you to be in the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't have a good season.
Yeah, right. None of that.
That was not the expectation, and so major disappointment up in Oxford.
So what are the expectations this year? Because I know for LSU,
it's not that.
Coach,
it's not that. It was a year ago.
Expectation there for LSU because of Nussmeyer. They got the quarterback right, Heisman candidate.
Ole Miss don't have that.
So in Oxford, it's to have a good season.
Okay. Because last year was the year.
Yeah, last year. I mean, they would have loved to have gotten to the playoffs. Yeah. The next year. But I mean, that's not the expectation.
Gotcha.
Now, not to say that you can't do it because it's 12. You need a lot of things to go right, and it's got to be perfect for you, but you know we'll kind of see how it unfolds. But just to talk about Chris Paul, he's a really really fast linebacker, one that got better and improved as a linebacker. He's a guy that'll come up and hit you. He's not afraid to hit you, but I mean they're going to use him or be able to use him in a lot of different ways, particularly because of his speed, his ability to be able to track the ball, to be able to he should be a guy that's on the field for all three downs. I mean, because he's got a pretty good sneaky amount as far as when they want him to rush, but he can run. And so to be able to use him as a big body to cover a tight end, cover a guy in the flat, he can do that for you.
You know who he reminds me of? Like a middle-range Lavonte David.
Yep,
he's not as good as Lavonte, but he's sort of a middle-range version of what David did coming out of Nebraska.
Yep,
he did at Ole Miss.
Yep, he may not ever be a guy that he's up for the Pro Bowl or All Pro, but he you look at his numbers, it's gonna be man, this player's pretty good. You know, he makes plays for you.
So what do y'all think? Steve, you had brought this up. man, we're picking a lot of players, you know, compared to past drafts. Do y'all think now that you look going into the sixth round, 1-6, 2-7th rounders, 184th pick, 248, 254.
Yep.
There's no way we keep all those picks. Don't we try and wheel and deal, dude?
Well, that's what I thought. I didn't think that they would keep all the picks that they had. I thought that they would probably try to move up or, you know, try to move up or at least trade some of those picks maybe even for
maybe you target one guy, but I still would be surprised if we draft three more players.
But the thing is, for me, I understand, though, too.
Get a running back.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe the new regime here wants to bring their guys in and not have so much of the reserves that have been here in the past.
Well, all I know is, okay, who's a running back from the past who doesn't even play? Kendre Miller?
Who?
Okay, yeah, exactly. Who's going to help out Alvin Kamara? Who's going to help out Alvin Kamara? I said like a running back. I don't know. I wish we'd find this day and age the Who That Nation would love him. Who's a modern-day version in 2025 of Chris Ivory or Kyrie Robinson? Think about them, how they could bring or knock a snide bubble, Deuce run you over.
Well, we talked about
man,
one
can
earlier,
we get like that?
But he's been drafted now.
Yeah. Oh, Scatterboo.
Man. Oh, yeah.
No, that was everybody.
Yeah. Where'd he go? To the Giants? No?
Jets.
The Jets. Oh, yeah, you got Scatterboo.
No, Giants. New York, but it was Giants.
Yeah, Scatterboo. Yeah, I know. I like him. Yeah,
we got more text calls about Cam Scatterboo than any first-round pick in this
you
draft.
Well, you see Scatterboo, and we watch the postseason. We don't watch Arizona State football, but I watch them against Texas. all I know is that son of a gun was running hard, Deuce.
He was like, hey, put that team on my back.
And to me, Alvin Kamara still got a lot left in the tank, but we got to help him. And Kendre Miller, you can't be like, I'm trying to get right. I'm trying to get right, dude.
You do have the LSU boy on board now, too, as well.
Is he mentally right? Is he mentally right? I mean, that's all mentally, physically, that all comes into play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, why did the Chiefs give up on him? I don't know. He still might have something left in the tank. But, I mean, we need competition. We know Alvin Kamara could do it. Kendre Miller, we want him to show up. We want Clyde Edwards-Helaire to bounce back. But I think we need a running back. I agree with that. Now, I don't know who's out there. Hey, listen, like I said, all I know is the Who That Nation, we appreciate it with Chris Ivory and Kyrie Robinson when they came to the town. But, who it was? Chris Ivory and Kyrie Robinson, like the Predator? Had those dreadlocks? Man, I was like, if I turn a corner and look at that son of a gun, I'd be turning around walking the other way. That dude looked mean.
I don't know if...
Was it Kyrie? That dude looked mean. I was like, man, look at this son of a gun.
I don't know if he's been picked yet, but Damian Martinez.
He was going to go through the best available right now. He is still on the board, Mike.
Okay, if you talk about a guy that runs like Ivory and Kyrie, it's Damian Martinez from Miami of Florida.
Well,
he runs with... What's that?
We need to draft him.
Oh, okay.
All right, there you go. There you go.
Simple as that. Go ahead, Bob. You got the deal on this.
Can you finish up the rest of the day? We can go home.
Yeah, no, I just want beast mode. We all remember positive or negative. We know the negative beast mode, the Seattle playoffs. But we had beast mode on our team. I'm telling you, Kyrie Robinson and Chris Harvey ran like that. Deuce, you ran like that. I remember in the Eagles playoff game. We do that rugby play, and you running. Oh, you can run around or over people.
Well, I wanted to score. So,
exactly.
what was the easiest way to the end zone? And so if I had to get through somebody, then so be it.
Yeah, go straight. I ain't juking. I'm going to run over you.
That's
classic. Yeah, that's why, listen, we all still think we're confident in Alvin Kamara. I think Kamara still has a lot left in the tank. I think he's going to be rejuvenated because of Kellen Moore and how he's going to be utilized. And listen, and I told people this, Saints fans, you got to be realistic. Look where we had offensively. Who could have started off a team that Kellen Moore was calling plays? McCoy at right guard instead of Becton. But other than that, I love Alvin Kamara. But
you mean better, for the Eagles?
For the Eagles. He ain't better than Saquon Barkley. No, he'd be part of the rotation. So on our team, like a receiver. Chris Olave would be the third receiver. We need somebody right now to help out Alvin Kamara, because I think Alvin Kamara still has a lot left in the tank for the season.
I could see a healthy Swiss Army knife of Taysom Hill in that offense.
But how's Taysom's knee? I heard that
knee. A healthy Taysom.
Oh, a healthy Taysom. Yeah, yeah. No, I have three Taysom Hill t-shirts. I ain't got to worry about that. I love me some Taysom Hill. But anyway, how healthy is he? I don't know.
Just some of the other best name running backs I'm going to mention on the board here for you guys. Devin Neal from Kansas, Rashard Smith, SMU, Syracuse, LaQuinn Allen, also Rutgers, Kyle Monagehi.
Monagehi.
Is he a Samoan or something?
I don't know.
African, Samoan, something.
But I do know a lot about Martinez.
Okay.
And he's a Texas kid. Louisville High School in Texas. And, man, he runs with such passion. And he lays it out there. And he's a pretty good receiver coming out of the backfield. He started at Oregon State. How the hell he got from Louisville?
So he went from Texas to Oregon State to Miami? Oh, he's going coast to coast. Yeah, yeah.
So he got a lot of frequent flyer miles out of all that. But he would be a guy that's available right now that would fit what you talking about.
Yeah, Saints fans, listen, we're still talking about Chris Ivory and Kyrie Robinson.
No, you are.
You.
No. I talked to the Who That Nation. I have private meetings with the Who That Nation.
There are fans out there going, who's he talking about?
No. If you know Saints football, you know who those son of a guns are, because they knocked a snob up. But they ran, Hoss, you're not paying attention enough. You don't know who Chris Ivory and Kyrie Robinson
are. I am paying attention.
Well, but then you got to know who Chris Ivory and Kyrie Robinson
are. They
were a beast mode. They were a poor, poor man, Deuce McAllister. They were unbelievable. Who was Chris Ivory that broke his leg so bad one time, or was it Kyrie? One of them.
Chris Rock. Well, both, really. Okay. I mean, but it was the injuries are what got Chris Ivory.
We didn't want to pay Chris Ivory. Was he the one that went to the Jets and ran against over 100 yards against the Saints?
Yeah. Yes.
I remember they had about an 80-yard run. I remember that. Yep. Come on.
Just a couple picks away from the Saints' sixth-round selection. We're going to take a break, be back with more of TrainSouth.com WWL draft coverage right after this. Welcome back into our WWL Draft Fest coverage. We're at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, official supermarket of the Saints, brought to you by TrainSouth.com. The pick is in for the Philadelphia Eagles, getting quarterback out of Syracuse, Kyle McCord, with pick 181. Then it's going to be the New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans, and at pick 184 will be the black and gold back on the clock.
Deuce, one of the guys gets elected, J.J. Fagese. And I told the story yesterday. He comes to one of our camps, and he weighs in 288 pounds. He's trying to tell me, I'm going to play running back in college. And then he goes to Auburn. First thing they did, they made him a tight end. He was a former high school quarterback. And then now he's playing defensive line, but he does play in some of the offensive packages. Interesting guy, J.J. Fagese.
Yeah, Fagese, he's a guy that, tight end at Auburn, D-line a little bit at Auburn, felt like that he wasn't being used right. Comes to Ole Miss, comes back home. He played at Lafayette High School, or Lafayette High School in Mississippi. It's Lafayette, and here it's Lafayette, but Lafayette. And he's the jumbo quarterback for you. Yep. And so they put him in. He's thrown some passes. He threw it in high school. I mean, he won state championship like 2 years possibly there. And so he's a great athlete. I mean, when you look at his feet, to be a guy that's 300-plus pound, he has fantastic feet.
Well, Mike, you know, you look at the quarterback position, Kyle McCord. I think he's an NFL quarterback. I don't know if he's going to do anything with the Jets, but I think he's legit. I think Ohio State, he goes to Syracuse.
At least a backup.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what happened with him and Ryan Day. But for you to leave Ohio State to go to Syracuse.
But he didn't pout. He did good at Syracuse.
No, he did really well last year. He really threw the football. They threw the rock a lot, the Orangemen, last year. And he put up some huge numbers there. Really smart young man. Very accurate. Not the most mobile guy around.
Right. Would you say very similar to Shuck as far as in the pocket? You know who we got from Louisville? I mean, I think it's similar, right? They're going to be a pocket passer?
Yeah, he definitely is a pocket passer. But, man, he put up some huge numbers. Went to the East-West Shrine Game, worked out and everything. Didn't play in the game, but basically worked out and everything. And, boy, he looked good. And so he goes to the Jets. And, Steve, I don't think we that many picks away from the Saints pick, correct?
The Kyle McCord actually went to Philly.
Went to Philly?
Right.
Well, they had on here the Jets. I don't know. ESPN got it all screwed
unless
up.
Unless there was a trade that I don't know about.
No, it probably was Philly, but it had Jets right there. Pick us in. It had his name up there. So Philly, oh, so that's another
that's
good
about
situation.
Right. That's about right that he would go there as a backup quarterback. But Kyle McCord.
Pick in right now for the Patriots, then as the Titans.
Okay. Okay. And so we three picks away.
There you go.
Okay, I got you. But Kyle McCord can play. I don't know if he's a starter in the NFL,
no,
but he definitely is a backup
quarterback. But, okay, when you think about, you know, that's your kid. Let's say I'm Kyle McCord's mom and dad, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to be the man, you want to be the starter. But can you have, like, a job? Think about this. You have 32 teams. Can you be, because not everybody's going to keep three quarterbacks. Can you be one of 64 and make a great living? Mike, you know, is the perfect example. He's dating my niece, University of Houston Cougar quarterback. He's backing up Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, from University of Houston.
Right.
So, man, he's played well in the preseason, too.
Yeah, he played against the Saints. Man, why is his name slipping my mind right now? It's like he's dating my niece. Mike, what's his name? Come on, help me out here. From Houston Cougars.
Now you done thrown it out of my head now with all these.
I did his game. The bowl game that they had.
The Independence Bowl?
Was that the game?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man, but my brother's going to kill me that I forgot this.
I'll tell
you. Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals.
Clayton Tune.
I need to take more Prevagen or something. I don't know. But Clayton Tune, yeah, so look at him. I said, I know you want to be the man, but can you last? You know, you go to college, get a good education, but if you can last 10 years in the NFL, what a great living. And then look at Chase Daniel. Didn't get beat up. He made over $40 million.
Pretty nice.
I mean, yeah. So that's why when you look at it, you want to be the guy. But I think McCord looking at now, you know, Jalen Hurts the guy. But can you last? I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. But he put skins in the wall. He left Ohio State and went to Syracuse, like you said, and he did outstanding.
Well, look,
great opportunity.
When Hurts went down, they put in Kenny Pickett. And he screwed the pooch for them.
They had a
two-touchdown lead in that game, right, Steve?
Right.
And ended up losing to the command. Now, again, Jaden caught him at the end. I will say that Daniels caught him at the end of that game, but Kenny Pickett couldn't.
He was overdrafted by the Steelers just because he was
They got Dorian Thompson Gray over.
Yeah. But you look at Kenny Pickett.
That's why they picked Kyle McCord.
But Kenny Pickett, a local project, the Steelers never should have drafted him that high.
Well, Pickett's with Cleveland.
Yeah, but he's still working. I mean, I don't know. Can you still last?
We have a kicker getting off the board, going to the New England Patriots, Andres Bourgelet from Miami.
Yeah. And he's a pretty doggone good kicker. I saw him kick a lot this year. He's got a good leg. And so, you know, you don't see specialists get selected a lot.
Right.
But Beaujolais, man, he's got a pretty strong leg and very accurate kicker.
You know, when you talk about kicking and all that, obviously, you know, you got to be accurate to make your field goals and all that. But you look at the kickoff rules that have changed. And now they want to see more returns. You remember what I was saying? We just moved the kicker back. And what, they moved it back now
to
5 yards?
4 yards.
So the touchback
goes to 35.
Yeah. And stuff. So, yeah, because you want to see returns, not where it's not a play. And I always said, well, you look at the kickers and their leg strength. I don't know. Just move the kicker back. And then you got to have more returns instead of them kicking it out the end
zone.
Well,
either way, what happens is if you get it to the 35 or it's a touchback.
Right.
Now, as we were talking to Phil Galliano, think about you're a first down and a half away. So fourth down percentages are way up. You're like, just go for it.
Right.
Why am I
right.
midfield? Why am I going to kick a punt?
Right. Get
it
scoring range.
Right. So you're automatically one or two first down. You're at scoring range.
Yeah, so that's one thing. You know what we haven't worried about, I'd say, the past decade? And not really, I want to say post-Katrina. Don't we never say, like, man, our special teams suck? No. Aren't we amongst the best, it seems like? Running Coach McMahon and everybody, that we've always been good on special teams, Deuce. Whether the players, we're always amongst the best.
Again, for the Titans here.
Yeah, it's Marcus Harris, the cornerback. He started at Idaho and transferred to Cal. One thing with Cal, they had two good corners. Now, they couldn't put pressure on the quarterback, but, man, their corners really played well. And Sermon You know, he was there, Saints linebacker coach. Yep. He saw those two guys. Yeah, no, got picked by the Chiefs.
Cal's
yesterday.
Had three or four players drafted, I think, on the defensive side.
Oh, they always do. I mean, secondary is always really, really nice up at Cal. I mean, one of the things that they do, they run a really sophisticated defensive system as well on the back end.
Like an NFL system.
Yes.
Yeah. And the coaches know
My
that.
My thing is, how they lose all these games late because they don't get no pressure on the quarterback.
They can't pressure the quarterback.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yep. So this pick right now for the Saints, guys, is the one they got from the Washington Commanders.
So
Lattimore.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
So okay. Do y'all think that Lattimore, because when he went to the Washington, now he was hurt, and then when he got to play, that Washington people calling him, Bobby, I thought you told me he was going to be a shutdown corner. I said, no, he's really good, but they weren't going away from Lattimore in a Commanders uniform. And a couple of times I've seen when he got beat, he wanted to fight, and he got beat by a touchdown. So that'll be interesting to see how Lattimore bounces back and can be reliable like Washington thought they were getting a dominant corner this upcoming season.
And they have picked a running back, and it's not Martinez, but it's Devin Neal from University of Kansas. Devin put up some big numbers for the Jayhawks. And
Mike, is he a pass receiver running back or running?
He can catch it, but man, he is a guy that has run well between the tackles. So Devin Neal, he rushed over 1,200 yards last year, 16 rushing touchdowns for the Jayhawks. And so that, we talked about running back, maybe Martinez here. We brought up Devin Neal's name, but he was a heavy-duty back for the Jayhawks. And so
he's not a big back. Where they had him at? 5'11"?
5'11", 213.
That was a corner.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna say, Harris, what was that? Okay, so what's his size thing?
5'11", 213 pounds.
Yeah, no, that's put together.
And so, again, 49 rushing touchdowns, which was a Kansas record. Now, why he dropped a little bit in the draft, people say he's not super fast. I think it was a 4.58, something like that.
4.6.
So, Mike, is he more you could be a shifty, nifty. Is he more quick
than
fast? He's
more of a shift, quick runner up the field.
So you're not going to take it to the house 60, 70 yards, but he might make a guy miss and make an 8, 10 yard, 12 yard run.
And he burrows through you.
Well, okay. And that's why I was can you get me yardage on short
yeah, right.
Third and short,
yeah.
Second and short?
Yeah.
Can you get me yardage? I don't need you to get 40.
Yeah.
I don't need you to get a 15.
Can you get four? Four or five?
If I need two, can you give can you give me 2.5?
So
that's what I need. And so I'm not surprised by it. Yeah, when you look at him, that's 213. Maybe
that is
maybe a little bit more than 213.
We're going to hear some highlights over here. They got to show his vision. That was a good cut.
And as we watched it, you can see his eye vision.
His vision.
And his vision to see the whole cut up the field. And he's a hard-charging back. Again, he's made some big plays for Kansas, but he's a wear-you-down type runner. You just saw a cornerback sort of push him. I mean, he wouldn't even try to tackle him. He also catches the ball pretty well coming out of the backfield and then gets those shoulders square.
He might not be fast, but he looks quick, dude.
Well, he's got good movement. I mean,
yeah, when he makes that first guy miss.
That first guy, he's got a little shiftiness to him, and I don't know if you want him to drop a pound or two as far as some weight. And
I would say you were right. Deuce.
Yeah, I mean, and so that may help him even a little bit more because he's got a little shiftiness to him.
5.8 yards a carry.
And if I play Kansas, who else scares me?
Nobody.
It's Devin Neal.
Yeah, nobody.
Devin Neal was the guy that scares me.
Well, Hoss, what you said, 5.8?
I had 1,266 yards on 219 carries, 12 games, but it was 5.8 average and 16. That's 24.
Well, he could do 4.8 for us if he'd like that.
Well, no, I got a question for you. Do they have after contact?
Not on the page I'm looking for, but yeah. I know what you're looking for. Let me get it.
How many yards after contact, or at least, you know, contact yards?
Because, Deuce, what we've been watching is making people miss, but not necessarily running through tackles.
Right.
So, like Jente. Yeah. Like you look at Jente at Boise State, I'd be like, oh, man, he stopped. Oh, no, he just ran through that tackle.
So, and he's able to do it consistently.
Yeah.
But, Bob, I'm going to show you. This is the picture of how he's cut as a runner. And so if we was on TV, it'd be a little bit better. But
no,
take a look at that.
No, he's yoked. He's yoked. He got some guns.
And so Devin Neal, who's a heavy-duty back at University of Kansas, has been the selection for the Saints. And, again, you just look at the numbers he put up there, and there's not a lot around him that was putting up big numbers. Devin Neal has come through big time for the Jayhawks, and he gives you that element that he can catch the football coming out of the backfield. Michael?
During his career, it says he averaged 3.73 yards after contact.
I'll take it all day.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll take it all day.
Yep.
3.7 after contact, I'll take it all day.
You know, what do you think? I know it's a late pick, but does this catch, Deuce, you comment, Kendre Miller's attention? You know, because what has he done?
No, it doesn't. Any pick didn't matter.
Okay, I got you.
Any pick didn't matter, and here's why. It's a new staff. I have to prove something to the staff.
Yeah,
it's
a
new staff. So it did. Any pick did matter because I need to prove that I deserve one of the 53.
So Kendre Miller and Neal, they're on the same playing field with a new staff. But we don't know you, Kendre Miller. We didn't draft you, right?
Yes and no, because I got film to see what you did in the NFL.
Okay.
But I still need to be able to prove what I can do.
That are in the roster spot.
Field. Correct.
Guys.
Well, not what you can do is not even stay on the field. I mean, what makes me warrant you the 53-man roster?
And right? Looking at Neal, Mike, I don't know. I think there's value there. He was, I saw it in a couple of mock drafts. He was like a third-round prospect.
I had him as a fourth-round.
Okay, third-round, yeah.
Now, not only was he a good football player, you know, he was an all-state baseball player in Kansas. It goes to show eye-hand coordination. And he did have Iowa after him, Nebraska, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, but he decided to stay at home and play in Kansas. He's from Lawrence, Kansas. So here's a guy that's put up some really big numbers. And when you think about it, he rushed as a freshman for over 700 yards, then 1,090, then 1,280, then 1,266, and averaged 5.7 yards a carry throughout his college career, 49 rushing touchdowns. In the last 3 years, he caught 70 passes coming out of the backfield.
Well, and you know, Deuce, like you were saying about breaking tackles, I thought this was interesting. You look at outside running, you know, can you pop it? And then, you know, your quick first movement. Neal's elusiveness and jittery movements are dangerous in open field. And he easily pushes plays outside. You know, and you bounce it.
Yeah.
And he's not it's not false steps, if you know what I'm talking about.
I got you.
Saints taking Kansas running back Devin Neal with 184th overall selection. Two more picks coming up in the seventh round. We'll be back with more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage right after this. You know, I do.